The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths And inshallah in this episode again we will hear about the sacrifices of the previous Muslims, the best of generations in fact, the best of all Muslims, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But before we do begin our topic, let us hear an excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sallu alayya fa inna salatakum alayya zakatul lakum. Recite Salat upon me, for indeed your recitation of Salat upon me will be a purification for you. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Debut of Madinah Channel. The initial period of Islam was a very difficult time. Great hardships were faced. And in particular in Makkah al-Mukarramah, those fortunate Muslims who would enter Islam were persecuted. We have reports of Muslims being tortured and life was made very difficult for them. We know that the Prophet ﷺ, he was on top of Mount Safa when he announced his prophethood. And not only did the kuffar, the disbelievers of the time, reject the message of the Prophet ﷺ, but they resorted to punishing, torturing the Muslims, those who accepted the message of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, when this happened, and Sahaba became martyred as well, then Sayyidina Umayr bin Ishaq states, that the brother of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, will you not give me permission, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I migrate to a location, a place where there will be comfort, there will be ease, and I can worship my Lord Allah azza wa jalla. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him ijazah, gave him permission. So what did he do? He took his companions with him, Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, and left. Now this migration that took place was the first migration. And the migration to Medina al-Munawwara was the second one. This particular migration was towards Abyssinia, Habsha. So from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Habsha. And as for the number of people who migrated, there's a difference of opinion, but approximately 80 people migrated. And it wasn't the case that they migrated all at once. Different journeys were undertaken for this cause. Sayyidatuna Salama radiallahu anha, she states, when the land of Makkah al-Mukarramah became constricted for the Muslims, it was difficult to live there, and acting upon the deen also became very hard. They were persecuted, punished, tortured. Then to save their iman, the Muslims migrated to Habsha. Now it's important to note that the kuffar, the disbelievers, they wanted to become successful in preventing Islam from spreading. They wanted to do anything to ensure that Islam does not spread and that they finish off Islam. Ma'adallah. Now we know that when the Prophet ﷺ announced his prophethood, 40 years was his blessed age. Before that, he showed people his beautiful character. And they themselves were the first to say, he's Sadiqul Wa'di Wal Amin. He's most truthful. But as soon as he announced his prophethood, as soon as Muslims began to increase, then the kuffar were infuriated, they were enraged. In fact, Abu Lahab, the one with the diseased inner, diseased heart, he said, Tabban Laka. أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا That woe to you. Ma'adhala, he's saying this to the Prophet ﷺ. Is this why you gathered us on the Mount of Safa? So, we know that thereafter, persecution began. The likes of Sayyidatuna Sumayya radiallahu anha, she was martyred. Sayyidatuna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was tortured. When all of this happened, we know the cause wasn't because the Muslims had attacked them or had dishonored them or had usurped their wealth or anything of the sort. The only reason why the disbelievers were enraged and angry is because the Muslims have left the false idols and they have begun worshipping the one true Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they began to have enmity, hatred towards the Muslims because of this reason. This was the only crime of the Muslims. And it's not even a crime. They saw the light, they were guided towards Islam. The kuffar, it was not in their nasib, in their fate. So, when disbelievers heard that some of the Muslims have migrated towards Habsha to begin a new life, to attain ease and comfort, to gain salvation from the persecution of the disbelievers, they began to pursue them there as well. Follow them there as well. Allahu Akbar. This is how much hatred they had for Islam. So what happened? Harqal, who was the king of the time in Habsha, he was sent a letter by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they pursued the Muslims. When the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina al-Munawwara, they put a ransom on his head, a bounty on his head, ma'azallah, that whoever martyrs the Prophet ﷺ, we will give him 100 camels. Now what was this? This was their envy towards the Prophet ﷺ and their malice towards the Prophet ﷺ and Islam. Because if you think about it, these distances were not near. Even today, when you travel for Umrah or Hajj and you go from Medina to Makkah, vice versa, from Makkah to Medina, it takes several hours. You have to stop on the way, refreshments, you have to endure a long journey. In those days, when there was no transport, no trains, no cars, no aeroplanes, nothing of the sort, people travelled. And here the Kuffar, ma'adallah, are still following the Muslims when they migrated to Habsha and when they migrated to Medina as well. This is how much they wanted Islam to be uprooted. But the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that Islam would gain dominance. Look at the battles that took place. Battle of Uhud, Badr. These were not places that were near them. The Kuffar still reached there because they didn't want Islam to flourish. They didn't want Islam to prosper. The disbelievers continued plotting and the Muslims continued using wisdom and using strategy, and they began to plan in their own way, and they never gave up. They were determined to ensure that Islam flourishes, Islam gains dominance. Now, one of the reasons why the Muslims went to Habsha in particular, this first migration, was that Najashi, who was the king of Habsha, he was a man of peace. He didn't like warfare. He wasn't an unjust person. When Muslims asked Najashi for permission, he granted permission. He said, you may come. Now the Muslims went to Habsha, they settled, they began to live there, and more Muslims began to follow. And as we heard, approximately 80 Muslims migrated. They began to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tranquility, with serenity, with peace. And nobody was there to enforce other ways upon them. Force them to worship idols, force them to be polytheists. They've left that life. They are migrating from that life. They have seen the light. They've become Muslims now. Subhanallah. Now, meanwhile, the kuffar, they've realized that Muslims are now migrating. They're leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah. But we have to pursue them. We have to follow them. This was the mindset of the kuffar. So, what happened? They also went towards Habsha. And they couldn't stand the fact that Muslims are now at peace, a lot of them, many of them who have migrated. And they're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, from the delegation of the kuffar who came to Habsha from Makkah al-Mukarramah, there were certain people who became Muslim later. For example, Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abi Rabi'ah, they were part of this delegation that came from Makkah al-Mukarramah on behalf of the disbelievers at that time. So first of all, what they did was, they went towards the generals of Najashi. They met them, they incited them against Islam, and they gave them gifts as well. And it's famous when you give a gift to someone, you blind them, it becomes yours. So what happened? They began to gift these generals with all of these tahaif, with all these gifts. And they began to mention their side. And they said, look, this is our demand. Send those Muslims back to Makkah with us. They sought refuge in your country, in your place of residence. Send them back with us. And they said to the generals that we're going to go to Najashi, and whatever we say in regards to these Muslims, you have to agree with us. You have to convince the king that what we're saying is right, that the Muslims should be sent back. They shouldn't be allowed to reside here. And you should mention to the leader, Najashi, that the Muslims are mischievous people. They create fitna, discord. And like this, we need to encourage him to take the decision that we want, to exile the Muslims, send them away from his country. So they went to Najashi. Again, they took many various gifts. And they said to Najashi, look, there are certain people from our nation, our qawm, who have come here, are residing here. And our people back at home are upset, they're frustrated, and they've sent us as a delegation to speak to you. You need to get rid of them, otherwise they're going to cause a lot of fitna. They're going to revert your people. They left our deen, they've adopted a new way. Soon they'll be encouraging your people to adopt their way as well. And like this, your rule, your kingdom will finish. So what we propose is that you send them with us so we can take them back and present them before our nation. They can judge regarding them. Now, Najashi wasn't a foolish person, wasn't stupid. He was an intelligent person. He said, okay, but first of all, they should be called as well. These people who you have made this claim against, the Muslims, let them come. Let them have their say as well. I will listen to them. And if I believe what you're saying is correct, I'll send them back with you, no problem. But if I believe that what you're saying is not correct, their case is strong, then you'll have to leave. They're not going to leave with you. Meaning if I find out that in any way you want to take them back just to be unjust to them, to commit oppression against them, I won't listen to you. Your case is out the window. And when the Muslims were called, amongst them, of course, was Sayyiduna Ja'far, radiallahu ta'ala, many others as well. Now, the manner in which respect was shown to a leader in those days was when you would go to the court of the leader, you would prostrate to him out of respect. When these Muslims went, Sayyiduna Ja'far and the others, they said, Assalamu alaikum. But they did not prostrate. They went to the court. And when they went there, Najashi asked them a few questions. He asked them about salam. He asked them about their deen. What is your deen? Are you Christians? Are you Jews? He asked various questions. And Sayyiduna Ja'far and the others, they gave tafsili answers, detailed answers. They mentioned that Islam, Assalamu alaikum, this was the greeting of the Muslims. And this is what Islam has taught us. And they mentioned that sajda is only for Allah. We know sajda is of two types. Sajda tul ibadah and sajda tul ta'zim. Sajda tul ibadah meaning worship, prostrating with the intention of worshipping someone. This is solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none else. And sajda tul ta'zim is when you prostrate to someone out of respect, reverence towards them. And we know in the Sharia of the Prophet alayhi salam, this has been abrogated. Meaning in the previous Sharias, these rulings did exist, meaning prostrating to someone out of veneration. But in this Sharia, it's haram to do so. He asked, what is your deen? Sayyiduna Ja'far began to say in a beautiful way that this is our deen. We were ignorant people. We would worship idols. We would eat carrion, dead animals. We would sever ties. We would show bad conduct towards neighbors. Those powerful amongst us would defeat, suppress rights of the weak. They would violate their rights. The paupers and the impoverished poor people had no rights, had no significance in our societies. In fact, a poor person would not even be considered a human in our society. Women were oppressed. They were not given any rights. They began to mention how girls were buried alive, all of those things. Women were not given inheritance. They were deprived from that as well. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed our situation. A man from amongst us was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was sent as a prophet, as a guide, and his character is before us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at his lineage, he is from the greatest lineage. He has great rank. He is truthful. He is someone who fulfills the promise. He is loyal. He is trustworthy. He has never done anything at which someone can point a finger, raise a finger, or criticize him. He conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told us that Allah is one. Consider him as one. Believe him to be one. There's none worthy of worship besides him. And he told us that the idols that your forefathers were worshipping, they cannot do anything. They cannot benefit you. They cannot harm you. The idol that is standing is standing. The idol that is sitting is sitting. We've made them from our own hands. We've carved them from our own hands. How can they be God? They are dependent on others in every moment, these idols. How can they be your Lord? This is what the Prophet ﷺ told us. This Prophet came, but he told us Allah is the only one worthy of worship. Then they were asked, what are the teachings that he has spread amongst you? They said he told us to speak truthfully, be trustworthy. He told us to mend ties, to show good conduct towards others, to refrain from shedding blood unlawfully. He told us to refrain from immodesty, giving false witnesses, eating the wealth of the orphans. He told us to stay away from, and he prohibited accusing chaste women of doing wrong. And he told us that we should establish salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that he has told us to do. When Sayyidina Ja'far mentioned these things before Najashi, he said, O King, when he told us to do all of these things, and we realized that this is the proper way, this is the way to follow, and this is the deen that will improve society and rectify society, we are certain of this, then we accepted it. We became Muslims. And we began to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we renounced our prior faith, previous faith, worshipping idols, etc. We consider what Allah has said is lawful as lawful. And what we believe what Allah has declared as prohibited as prohibited. How can we go against that? And then he said, O King, when our nation saw that we are doing this, we have left their ways, we have left their false gods, then they became our enemies. They began to oppose us. And they began to punish us in various ways. They want us to revert back to their ways, revert back to their religion. And they want us to leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and instead worship the idols. Our Prophet alayhi salam has told us to adopt the truth. How can we go back to lying? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, avoid adultery. Why are we going to do adultery now? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he told us, we accept it wholeheartedly. How can we return to our old ways? O King, when we began to suffer because of following Islam, people were martyred. We had no choice. We left Makkah al-Mukarramah. We came to you because we know that we can practice our deen here. There is safety here. We can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no restriction on us worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here and following our religion.
And then the Najashi turned to the Kuffar and said, go, leave from here. Now the waqiyah is tawil, it's lengthy, it continues how the Kuffar continued plotting. And they tried again to ma'adallah brainwash Najashi, but it wasn't meant to be. So alhamdulillah, these are the sacrifices that Muslims carried out. They sacrificed for the deen, they left their homes, they went to far from places just to preserve their iman and Islam. May Allah grant us tawfiq to make the same sacrifices for our deen as well. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.